9 business and life lessons from the NFL draft. So the big question is, how are entrepreneurs like us who have too much to do and too little time able to build both the business and the life of our dreams? That's the question. And on this podcast, we'll explore the journey to the answer. My name is Brett Ingram, entrepreneur and award-winning product creator. I chose to build a business and have a time for a personal life, and I want to help you do the same. Welcome to Optimize. The NFL, or National Football League draft, is basically the biggest collegiate level sort of transition to pro football in America event that we have, because it's the night where, or the couple of nights, where every college prospect that wants to play professional football, that wants to be drafted into the NFL, has an opportunity to be picked by a team with their draft pick and join that professional franchise the following year. And so it's a really exciting time. There's tons of speculation that leads up to it. You have tons of analysts doing mock drafts. They break down all the college film from every single player in the draft. In general, there are a number of like really high picks that everybody knows are going to go somewhere near the very top of the draft. Then it gets a little bit hazier. And as you get further and further in the rounds, it becomes more and more difficult to predict. So for some people, it is a very exciting new beginning because they know they're going to be drafted, or maybe they get drafted when they weren't even expecting to get drafted that highly, and now they've got this professional career to look forward to. For other people, it could be heartbreaking because they can drop in the rankings and they can get drafted much later than they thought, or in some cases, not get drafted at all. And so it's a really exciting time, but it's also a watershed event for NFL football fans and NFL franchises because they can get new players that are going to become the next generation of superstars and leaders and everything else on their team. And as a fan base, we get to see who our new players are going to be on our team so we can get excited and rally around that as well. So it's just a great event. It's a lot of fun, and there's tons of speculation leading up to it. Some people are right, some people are wrong, some picks go exactly as planned, some don't. And so it's a very, it's enjoyable, right? And while for some people it's great and their lives are going to change forever, and for other people it's heartbreaking, regardless of that, either way, it has some very valuable lessons that if we read between the lines, we can see and we can apply them to our own lives and our own businesses to become better at what we do. So I want to share 9 of the lessons that I learned from the NFL draft that I think we can all take and apply to our own businesses, our own entrepreneurial journeys, and our own personal lives. The first is that historical performance matters. The way that they choose draft picks in general is based on their collegiate stats. So while your physical ability matters quite a bit, and they do a combine, and they have to run and jump and lift and stuff like that, and they do an interview, the fact of the matter is, what most people look at is the college game film. They want to see that even though this game in college doesn't represent the NFL, it's the closest thing you're going to get because you're going to see them actually perform. And you can see their, you can break down their decision making. You can break down their physical ability. You can break down their speed. You can break down their football IQ and all these other things. And it really matters because that game film, that tape, is what is going to determine where they are as a draft pick. Now, interestingly, along the lines of historical performance, injuries play into this as well. If you've been unable to perform for a period of time, that will hurt you. Whereas if you've had really big games against high-quality teams, that's going to improve your stock. If you struggle against good teams but play well against poor teams, that will also hurt your stock. So it's really interesting how historical performance figures into it. And when we look at that in our own lives, it's also true, right? If we're applying for a job, one of the things that everybody wants to look at is, what is your resume? What have you been doing? Tell me about what you've been doing in these other places. Now, it's interesting because historical performance is only what we've done in the past. It ultimately has very little to do with what we're going to do in the new job. But at the same time, people do look at that. If we're in the business world and we're trying to raise financing, or we want to run a company, or we want to convince partners to come on board, What they want to know is, well, what have you done? Have you been successful at this before? Have you been able to do this and have it work? If someone has been able to raise capital over and over again and produce companies that are profitable, they're going to have a far easier time getting financing than a first-time person who's giving it a try. So historical performance absolutely matters in whatever we're doing in our lives and in our businesses. And people are going to judge us by that, there's no doubt. At the same time, it's important to note the second thing that we could take away from it is that while previous results and our historical performance can get us the job, only future performance are going to keep us in it, right? These guys that go into the draft and they have all this high stock, and everybody says, wow, look at what they did at Alabama, or look at what they did at Nebraska, or wherever they played football, and they lit it up. Some of those players invariably enter the pros and fail. They either don't have the mental toughness, or they don't have the speed of processing to play at that game or play at that level, or there's something about the game where it just doesn't slow down enough for them to be able to be effective at that level. And you get a limited window of chances. The NFL is so competitive and there's so many people that want every spot that if you don't perform, it's very easy to get replaced and maybe never get another shot. So you could become a first round draft pick if you have a great performance in the past. But once you're drafted, once you're on the board of directors for this new company, or you're on the management team for a new startup or whatever, they don't care anymore what you did in the past. That got you in the door, but now we've got to put up or shut up, because it's going to be what we do now that's going to keep us in it. So if we're a solopreneur, then no matter what we've done in the past, our ability to be successful and continue to do what we want to do is going to be based on our ability to do it now. Otherwise, we're going to lose money and we won't be in business anymore. If we are hired into a company or joining a startup or something like that, it's the same basic idea. Our past performance will get us in the role, but it's not going to keep us there. When I was in staffing, one of my favorite clients was an importer, and they had this very sort of senior management team, and it was a very profitable, mature company based in Germany, and they had U.S. operations. And so they needed somebody in HR, and they hired this candidate that we had given them. And on paper, she was fantastic. She had all the things. She went in, she interviewed like a rock star. She got the job, and I'll never forget, he gave me a call, I think a couple of weeks after she started. And he said, I'm not complaining, but I just wanted to make you aware of something. He said, we were at an office retreat this last weekend, and the person that we hired skipped some of the meetings and went to the spa to get her nails done and to get a steam treatment and stuff like that. And he goes, she's brand new to the company and I don't know what she's used to, but where we work, we all work here and we don't really do that kind of stuff. And I thought how funny that was, because here she was, somebody coming in with such high hopes and everyone was excited about her. They're very picky about who they even hire, and they were really excited. And yet she comes into the job and immediately gets off on a bad foot because she makes a bad, selfish decision and figured, oh, these meetings don't really matter, blows them off and goes to the spa. So even if we aren't like that, even if we actually try, we still have to be able to produce and be effective in order to be able to be successful in what we're doing. So past performance can get us the job, but only future performance is going to keep us in it. The third lesson from the NFL draft is that there's subjectivity in every evaluation. Whether we are applying for a job, whether we are pitching for financing, whether we are recruiting people for a management team, whatever it is that we're trying to do, whether we're trying to get new customers, there's some subjectivity in the way that they evaluate us. If you're an NFL draft prospect, people are going to look at certain things about us, our interview, our running times, our college tape, and they're going to make a judgment. And that judgment can be smack dab right on, or it can be way off, because there is subjectivity. It's why all of these experts that do this NFL draft evaluation and study these guys for a living, it's the only job they have, are oftentimes wrong. They get a lot of it right, and they're smack on with a lot of the evaluations, but there's always some that they totally swing and miss on because there's subjectivity. And there's going to be subjectivity whether customers decide to do business with us. There's going to be subjectivity as to whether somebody wants to join our firm or give us financing or whatever. And they may choose wrong. They may bet against us when they shouldn't. But there is subjectivity in every evaluation. We just have to understand that. And we have to just be comfortable with the fact that despite the fact that we know what we know, not everyone else is going to agree with our own opinion of that and our own ideas of that. And people don't know what we're capable of, whether we do or not. And so based on that, we just have to be understanding that not everyone will see everything exactly the way that we do. And that's a totally normal, natural, and human characteristic and situation. The fourth element or the fourth lesson from the NFL draft that is very telling and very, I think, appropriate for business and life is that no one can predict the future 100% correctly. Whether it is where people are going to be drafted, how they're going to perform in the NFL, how they're physically going to be able to hold up against injury or other types of issues. Nobody can predict that 100%. We aren't robots, we're human beings. And life and the universe and the economy and all these other things are not totally predictable. There's unpredictability with it. And so with that, we aren't able to predict the future 100% correctly, whether it comes to how a prospect's going to do in the NFL or whether it comes to our own ability to start and run a business. We may think we've got these four or five strategies in place that are going to set us up for the next decade and we're going to build this empire. And then something could happen a year or 2 years down the road with disruptive technology or a competitor or economic issues or governmental policies. And all of a sudden the rug can get pulled out from under us. You know, if you're TikTok right now, as successful and huge as you are, and, you know, they'll go on, even if they're removed from the U.S., they're at a major risk of losing a tremendous amount of their base because they might lose all the U.S. users. If the bills have been passed, so if they don't divest the company from Chinese ownership, then the fact is they're going to be banned in the United States. And if that happens, they did nothing wrong strategically or from a business perspective, right? They're smart business people in the sense that they've been profitable and they're growing and it's a wildly popular platform. Doesn't matter. Other factors that are outside their control that they may or may not have been able to predict can affect their future. And the same thing goes with us as entrepreneurs. Whatever business we're running, we didn't know that COVID was coming and it came. And for some people, it knocked us out of the game. For other people, they were able to adjust, adapt, and keep going. So we have to just understand that there's an element of unpredictability. We have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable about that. And we have to just lean in, accept it, and be okay with that. The fifth lesson from the NFL draft is that it could take years of sacrifice to hear your name called or to get any recognition, right? The great parallel with the NFL draft is probably like social media or podcasting or YouTube, right? Because in the NFL draft, we see these guys at the moment where they win the lottery, right? They get picked and all of a sudden they're going to become multimillionaires, famous overnight with a career playing a sport for a living. It's like the dream life for a lot of people. And that's all wonderful. But when you pull back the curtain a little bit and you listen to their stories, there are a lot of very ordinary, work hard, average stories, but there are also a lot of single parent raised kid in a one bedroom apartment with six brothers and sisters, not enough food, not enough money to buy food. And somehow they were able to have the strength and the focus and determination to overcome all that when most of us never have to ever worry about those things. It's absolutely remarkable. It gives you chills to even think about the fact that people could come from such a place of difficulty and get to such a place of abundance. And it's tremendous and it's amazing and it's a great opportunity. But in every story, from every kid at every background, the sacrifice has been tremendous. In order to become an NFL player and to play at the level you need to play at, the training, the off-season training. We see the games. We see the game film. We don't see the weight room. We don't see the running. We don't see the calisthenics. We don't see the endless, tireless hours of work. I remember when Julian Edelman, the ex-NFL New England Patriot player, when he first came into the NFL, he was a punt returner. And nobody really thought much of the guy. Like, he wasn't going to ever become a real legitimate big-time NFL player. He was just going to be a special teamers person returning punts. But he was training in the background. He had been doing this the whole time. And when the receivers started to go down for the Patriots and they said, you know what, we have to put you in at receiver, he recognized that opportunity. He grabbed it and he never looked back. And the guy ended up having a career that most people could only envy when he came in with hardly any buzz and no one expected him to be able to do what he did. But he did a documentary series when he was rehabbing from his injury. And one of the things he talked about is the practices he would do. And he would go to his one practice for whatever college he was at. And when it ended, he'd get in the car and he would drive 2 hours, 2 hours to get to this practice with another team that he could go to. Practice there and then drive the 2 hours. And he would do this every single day. He was spending 3 to 4 hours in the car and practicing nonstop, because that's how bad he wanted it. And that sacrifice is ultimately what gave him the work ethic and gave him the ability to get to where he was. And every one of these kids that are coming up in the NFL draft, make no mistake about it, no matter how great it looks or how easy it looks, had to sacrifice to get to where they are. They gave up social time. They gave up all these other things so they could play football. And it worked out in a lot of cases, which is great, but that's what it took. As entrepreneurs, we're in the same situation. And as I said, the great parallel here is podcasting, social media, YouTube. Mr. Beast, who's the number one YouTuber on the planet, said for years he made videos, no one watched them. Gary Vaynerchuk, who has gone on to build an empire in marketing and advertising, started off with Wine Library TV, making wine tasting videos in his parents' basement with his best friend, or one of his friends shooting the videos. He said, I made videos for 2 years and nobody watched them. So these people understood that this is what it was going to take. They weren't focused on the paycheck. They were focused on the process and willing to put in the time to make it go. And that's what they did. And that's what we all have to do as entrepreneurs if we want to be successful. The sixth lesson is that everyone's path is different. It doesn't matter whether we come from nothing, we come from everything. We have royalty as parents who understood and already came from the NFL and know all the best coaches and how to get us there, or whether our parents were the least athletic people on the planet, although it's unlikely if we're in the NFL. The same thing goes for entrepreneurship. Whether our parents or our lineage or whatever is rich in the business world, or whether we're the first entrepreneur in our family like I am, it doesn't really matter. We all have a different path. We have to embrace whatever that is, find what it is, and be willing to follow it. And that's the most important element of it, and to recognize and appreciate and understand that. The seventh lesson is that there's no one right way to do everything, right? There are people that train all different ways. There are people that prepare all different ways. There are people that handle things all different ways. And this was true in the NFL draft and in the collegiate careers of these kids. And it's true in business and entrepreneurship and life. There are a lot of different ways to build a business. There are a lot of different ways to build a following. There are a lot of different ways to build a brand. And so we have to do what resonates with who we are. Instead of, we can look at other people and get clues from what they've done that works and that's successful and model it to the degree that it makes sense. But we have to be true to ourselves. And we have to do it the way that makes sense in our own bones. That's really the most important thing. The eighth lesson that I took from the NFL draft is that we're always selling ourselves, whether we realize it or not. Every one of these collegiate level athletes, when they step in the interview room, when they go to dinner with the team or the execs, every single thing they're doing, they're being evaluated. So they're always selling. They might not realize it, the smart ones do, but they're always being evaluated. So they're always selling. And people are either buying or they're not. And it's the same thing when we're dealing with our customers, when we're doing promotional stuff, advertising, when we are public speaking, when we're making social media content, when we're making podcast episodes, when we are pitching for financing, whatever we're doing, we're always selling ourselves, our brand, our product, our message, and we're doing it whether we realize it or not. So it's smarter to just realize it, embrace it, and expect it. So we're always prepared and we're always putting our best foot forward as opposed to being caught off guard or not realizing that we were being evaluated. And the ninth lesson is that desire and will are vastly underestimated and very hard to measure. Every single year, there are a few people in the draft that were totally underestimated. Tom Brady is obviously the poster child for this. Barely even drafted. Drafted in the last round, goes on to become the best quarterback that's ever played professional football. Broke every stereotype you could imagine. Couldn't run. Couldn't jump. He was reasonably tall. Not very strong. None of this stuff. But he looked like a marshmallow at the combine. All these other guys are ripped and jacked, and he looks like a marshmallow. Guy goes on to become the best NFL quarterback to ever play the game. Because we can't measure desire and will that easily. And that's true of athletes and football players, and it's true of entrepreneurs. If we have a desire, if we have a burning desire and a will, an iron will to do what we want, it doesn't matter how many setbacks, it doesn't matter how many punches we take, we're going to keep getting up, we're going to keep going, and that will take us a lot further than any good luck ever will. Because we can get lucky, and things could go well for a short period of time, but ultimately, to be successful long-term, we are going to need that element, that we're going to need that desire and that will. And even if all the chips are down, if we have that desire and will, we can find a way through it and find a way to make it work anyway. The NFL draft is a starting point for football players' pro careers, and it's fun to watch and speculate and critique, but there are also lessons that we can take from it for ourselves. So the takeaway here is that most of us are never going to be NFL football players. And to be honest, most of us probably never wanted to be. But whatever we choose to do in life, whatever our path in our personal journeys and our lives as entrepreneurs, it's important to keep our heads up and to pay attention to what we can learn. The NFL draft is an exciting event with twists and turns and surprises, but it also reveals some powerful lessons that if we embrace them ourselves, we can use them to become better entrepreneurs and hopefully better people too. Be sure to subscribe so you get every episode and share it with a friend. And until next time, remember, no matter what you want from your business and your life, don't compromise, optimize.